You're tuned to The Roar, 105.5 and 97.5. And this October, we're going pink for Tigers for Tatas. Every dollar helps in the fight against breast cancer. Donate now and join the cause at tigersfortatas.com.
I got you, babe. I got you, babe. They say I love.
All right, we continue on here in hour number two. Out of Bounds, live outside Jersey Mike's in Clemson. Kathleen Swinney and her husband join us here on the program. Very excited to have them here. How are the Swinneys today?
We are great. Well, Thank y'all for having us.
I'm just seeing her for the first time, so I think we're great.
Good to see you every day. Better than we deserve. We're better than we deserve.
You know what's funny is we were out at Clemson Sock Shop a couple weeks ago, and Coach Brownell and Miss Paula were in there eating lunch. And he was like, yeah, this is the only time I get to see my wife. It's like, it's preseason, man. For real. And he's like, nah, man. We don't get to see each other.
Preseason is full-blown go time. I mean, it's go time. You get into camp, it's you're rolling.
Well, this is for sure season. It's season for you, and it's season for us with the Tigers for Tatas. Before we get into some other stuff, I think it's always good to refresh people because folks have been donating, folks have been buying the merch, and it's been a really good day and a really good month so far. Ms. Kathleen, we'll start with you. Why is this cause so important to the Sweeneys, and by extension, why has it become so important to Clemson?
As a lot of listeners probably already know, I lost my sister 11 years ago to breast cancer, and that was in 2014. And I was diagnosed with the BRCA gene, as well as my younger sister, which is really serious. I had a prophylactic double mastectomy 20 years ago. But if you carry that gene, it's about 90% chance that you're going to get breast cancer. And just watching my sister fight and battle and eventually lose her life, it just became a big passion for Dabo and I. And then we've turned it into something trying to help other people. And I wanted to say, before we got any further, how grateful Dabo and I are for what y'all do. All of your listeners out there, I mean, I know you've raised more. We haven't found out yet this month, but so far y'all have given us a check for $738,000. Is that right, Ben?
That's right.
I mean, that is unbelievable. So everybody listening out there, I mean, whether you just you buy a wristband, you buy the T-shirt, you text in donations, I mean, it all goes to help women have mammograms, women fight for their life. And when you're riding around the upstate, those big pink buses you see, that is what you helped purchase. So we're just really, really proud of that. And it's so many of your listeners. They're all so generous, and most people have a connection to cancer in some way, shape, or form. But we just like to see this visible, tangible item riding around town that's helping to save lives that all of y'all helped us purchase.
Yeah, let me give you another perspective, too. So she said she had her surgery 20 years ago. So I was 35, a young coach here at Clemson. Clay was two, so we had three little boys, and we had just gotten back from vacation, summer vacation, and we're getting ready to start back into our season, because she actually had the surgery in the season, and I think it was October. Ironically, it was October, maybe the 5th or something, if I remember correctly, when she had that surgery. And but I'll never forget it. You know, she's healthy, we're healthy, we got, you know, we're and we. She had gone to have this test, this genetic test done, because of what her sister had dealt with. And at this time, her sister was doing pretty good, but the doctors were like, look, you need to have all your siblings tested for this. I'd never even heard of a BRCA gene. This is 20 years ago. I didn't know what that was. And so I'll never forget it. She had gone to have this test done before we vacationed, just mowing about our business. And we came back, and we go, and we sit down with this doctor. It was an Anderson, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget it. I mean, I have no idea. I'm like, and this doctor walks in. He was just very matter of fact and had this stuff. And he's like, yeah, you pretty much have this gene. We're like, I'm like, well, what does this mean? I don't even know what it means. And basically he's like, well, you got like a 85% chance or better that you're going to have breast cancer. And we're like, what? And like, oh, so what are your options? And they laid out the three options. But it was really a no brainer when we both looked at each other and we're like, well, Kat, this is the best chance for you to have long term survival and avoiding this. It doesn't eliminate it, but it lessens it to like 10%, as opposed to 80-something%. And so she made that decision to do that. But my point is, the only reason we had that knowledge to make a decision like that was because of all, first of all, her sister, all right, but secondly, because of all the research that's been done over the years, all of the knowledge that's been gained, you know, and 20 years later, oh my goodness, all that has happened since that time, you know, the testing, the treatments, you name it. We're just so much better now than we were 20 years ago. And where are we going to be 20 years from now? But it takes, there's somebody, there'll be another Kathleen, there'll be somebody else that's going to, you know, and it takes research, and research takes funds and all that. So, you know, again, the why is because of what we've dealt with in our life, and we wanted to use this platform to make a difference, to help somebody else, because we would have never had that knowledge without somebody somewhere discovering this BRCA gene that we didn't even ever heard of. So that's what this is all about. It's about the future, fighting for the future. You know, in those days, we were fighting for the 49-year-old version of calf. You know, we were fighting for that future, well, right? And listen, that's what this is about. It's about fighting for the future, about fighting for the future of moms to be able to raise their kids. And so it's an awesome platform, and we just appreciate how y'all come alongside us and the foundation to help make a difference, because we have made a difference. There's no question about it. There's been a huge difference made from everybody just coming together for one cause, and it doesn't matter what team you pull for or any of that stuff. Like, everybody can get on board with something like this, because everybody's affected by it. You know somebody, and if you don't, you will soon. And so, but we've made a difference, and we're going to continue to do that. But you know, the way y'all partner up and how y'all use this platform, it's awesome.
And we don't have to get in the weeds of what it is, but it's encouraging to know at Clemson University, there's research right now,
yes,
and they're making substantial progress,
yes,
towards cures and detection and things like that, and how to treat it. I mean, so it's really
well. And that's the other thing. Kath was very passionate about when we started the foundation and started raising funds. She wanted it to go to very specific organizations, and we really wanted it to be locally felt. And that's been something that she's been passionate about. Anderson here in Clemson at the university, obviously in Greenville, the buses touching all these communities, Bon Secours and Oconee, you name it. So that's been cool.
And we actually had, and I said that the other night, 14 grants through Clemson's bioengineering department. 14 have applied, and they're all breast cancer research. So that's like 14 different projects going on just at Clemson's bioengineering department. It's over my head, but they're doing so many things.
A bunch of smart people.
I gotta say,
the grants have X's and O's and all kinds of formulas, and I don't know what they mean, but they're all trying to help find a cure.
I don't even know where those buildings are. I got 2 degrees from Clemson.
Me neither.
I don't even know where they are.
But yes, they are working on cancer research on campus, yeah, right now.
It's
so that's cool.
It's unbelievable. I'll tell
yeah
you this. I was in your press conference yesterday. I was just sort of – I was clocking you, okay? I was putting you on the clock a little bit. You spent more time – this is crazy. You spent more time talking about this cause in your opening statement than you did talking about SMU. And I just think there are people out there who just think that football coaches – and you guys are. Like, you're in a bunker, man. I might just go pull the wives.
I am literally in a bunker.
You're in a bunker, man. But this is still something that, like – we could do this in February. We could do
yeah
this in May. We could do this whenever. But you guys are passionate about doing it in the season, during the season, with a big game coming up, and spending a lot of time
yeah
and energy on this. And I think people need to recognize that and understand that this is something that you're giving a lot of focus to, while your focus is also on very important things.
Yeah,
on the field.
Absolutely. I love what I do. I love where I do it. Love who I do it with. I love football, but I'm not defined by that. I mean, I'm just not. Never have been. I mean, it's always been about way more than you know, winning football games. And you know, I've just tried to always keep the main thing the main thing, and that's always kept me centered and balanced, and it's helped me enjoy the journey, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. The journey's hard. And there's good days and there's bad days. There's peaks and there's valleys. But, you know, you've got to have just, love for the process and love for the journey, and I do, but I do think that, you can't ever lose sight of what's most important in life, and when you're blessed with a platform, and we all have a platform. You don't have to be the head coach at Clemson to have a platform. You were called to use that to help others. That's really the way it's supposed to be, and this is a way to live that out. You love your neighbor. I mean, and that's just a way to live it out is, God says, whatever you do it with all your heart as if you're working for the Lord. And so that's just my perspective in life. I work for Clemson University, but I really work for the Lord. And that, to me, if you're working here at Jersey Mike's, whatever you do, you should do it with all your heart as if you're working for the Lord and not for man. And so if you have that perspective, then everything you do is God's work. Everything you do is God's work. And if you look at it that way, as this is God's work, you want to do everything you can to glorify that work. And so this is, to me, is just a very important thing, because I know that, people pay attention. And we have an opportunity to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. And when you've experienced cancer, it's devastating, especially when the people that are left behind, And so, that's left a mark on us. And so whether we're 6-0 or 3-3, that doesn't change, our purpose in life. Doesn't change anything. It doesn't define who I am. Never has. I love what I do. And again, I'm competitive as all get out. I want to win every single game. But I also know that, life's bigger than the scoreboard. And it's how you do things that ultimately matters. Football's hard. Ball can bounce crazy ways from time to time. There's a lot that goes into it and a lot of expectations. But I just think that, how you use the platform you have to help other people is a bigger legacy.
One thing, visiting with the Sweeneys here, one thing, Miss Kathleen, I know you talk about, and you both have talked about, when you go to the ladies' clinic, people saying, we appreciate you guys doing this. Last year I was in the crowd, this year I'm on the floor. But it sort of comes at you fast like that. I feel like we've heard more testimonials of people who had like a scare, who got the mammograms, and because they're getting mammograms, they've got the scare. And I don't know why it's hit me so much this year, but it's hit me that is a concern too. Like getting cancer, having to deal with cancer in the families, but even like I might have breast cancer, now I've got follow-up screenings and things like that. I mean, I know as somebody who, like, you've taken all the precautions, but I'm sure you guys hear that a lot of the people who are like, it hit me in the moment, and I end up not having it, but I know what it's like to process it now.
Oh, yes. Yes, and we meet those ladies all the time, and especially at the ladies' clinic, and we have the survivors come down, and like Dabo mentioned the other night, there might be 200 that come down, but next year there's probably going to be a few that come from the stands that, in the year have received the diagnosis, or maybe there's some that don't make it back the next year. Because we see some of the same ladies every single year, and it's really exciting because they've been in different stages, and maybe their hair's coming back in, or they feel better this year. So it's really emotional, but it's very special too. And I think some of the older ladies give a lot of encouragement to the younger ladies, because we see younger and younger ladies. I mean, like maybe, I think we had like a 27-year-old down on the floor this year. I mean, we see a lot of younger ladies than you have in the past. But to be standing beside a woman who's 70 and is 30 years removed, well, that's very encouraging to the 30-year-old. Lady.
Puts a lot of wind in their sails.
Yes,
that
could be me.
Going through a tough time.
Yeah. So we love it, and people come up to us all the time, and I got a mammogram, and we actually had a lady diagnosed with breast cancer at the ladies' clinic several years ago on the bus. She found her cancer by going on our mobile mammography bus, and she's doing wonderful. But it's 1 in 8 women, so it's, one of us sitting here right now, unfortunately.
It's created purpose for a lot of friends, too. Like, I meet a lot of ladies that come through, and they're there for their friend, to honor their friend, and to encourage their friend. And so I think that's a beautiful part of that day, too.
No doubt about it. Do you have anything? I want to ask some football questions.
Well, yeah, I do too. I just was thinking, Coach, when you were talking about, you know, October, when you found out about, you know, the diagnosis, like, at that point, you probably didn't care what your record was in football. I mean, it puts things in priority.
So that would have been – so what was that?
05.
Yeah, 05. So we got the diagnosis in July, right after we got off vacation, and we go back to work, and we scheduled this surgery. Like, we're like, well, we're just going to have to do it. And we did it that October. It might have been an open date. I can't remember when we did it. I just remember being there with you that morning and her mom coming up here and just all that she went through to do that. I mean, like – and you just got these little boys. You don't really understand. But, no, I wasn't – I don't even know what our record was in 05 at the time, honestly. I just know that that was a – that was something that we had prayed about. And I was just thankful because I didn't really know what the end result – I didn't know what to think. I just knew – and she was so brave. Like, she – I mean, I just remember, like, she's like, this is what I'm doing. And, I mean, I was like, oh, man, this is –
well, I think because when you see your sister go through it, and I was like, okay, this is my future if I don't do this. Like, and she, I was 34 when I had it done, and so she got her cancer when she was 37. So I was like, felt a very, very angst to get it done. Yeah.
Well, and I'm just thinking, someone did research to identify that gene.
Yes.
And what's the research we're doing now going to identify for the next generation?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, and again, just but as far as football, like perspective is always important. I mean, you know, I always say, man, you're not always happy, but I think you got to always have joy in your life. And to me, that comes through faith. But perspective is very important. I mean, it really is. I mean, there's so many things that are going on in life that, you know, are just tragic. And, you know, they're way bigger than losing a football game. And you do and listen, sometimes you do the very – I mean, you just do the best you can. And sometimes you do your very, very best and you don't get the results that you want. And that's just part of life. But you do your best anyway. And you keep going and you stay the course. And that's what I've always believed and always will.
That's true for football or breast cancer or
right.
anything, really.
That's exactly right. Well, I actually want to ask you about that because you've talked about that your program is strong, and you've kind of parsed out, like, the football issues versus the program stuff. We saw in Penn State, you're 2 weeks from the top five, and then things have just totally unraveled. And we've actually talked about that it feels like college football right now is a fragile ecosystem where it's hard for those values to sort of stand up in all of the other, like, the shifting sands of the world is the way I would say it. So how has Clemson been able to right the ship in the last 3 weeks with the team meetings and the things that you were talking about to put yourself on better footing going into the SMU game this weekend?
Oh, we have a great culture. You know, we have a great culture, and we have really good people, I mean, that have worked incredibly hard, like really good people. And that's the crazy thing about this season, honestly, because these guys have done everything right. I mean, everything. But, again, sometimes the results don't add up. Sometimes success is not what you see, you know, but yeah, from a program standpoint, I mean, we people will say, oh, Sweeney's stupid or whatever. They've said that for 17 years. I mean, what's new, right? Like, what's new? For 17 years, that's been the case. So that's normal for me, but the program has never been better. And honestly, I've never been a better head coach. I'm a better head coach today than I've ever been, ever. And I know that. But sometimes, you know, it just, it doesn't go your way. I mean, but you keep going, you learn, you keep getting better. And these guys have done everything right. But I think our culture, the character of the people in the building, because it is hard because we live in this, I mean, we've just normalized this toxic environment to where it's like a sport to just destroy people and tear people down. And I think a lot of people want to see us fall at Clemson because of what we stand for. We stand for faith, and we stand for education, and we stand for discipline and accountability and team and doing what we think is right. And that's just part of it. And so, you know, I always celebrate when we have a little challenge, you know, because – hey, God's always at work, and God's good all the time, all the time. And just how I look at it. But I think our program is doing everything it's supposed to do. The way it's set up, the purpose, I mean, it's thriving. This team, you know, and that's how I judge everything. It's one season at a time, you know, and every season has storylines. And we've had one perfect season, one. And we've won three national championships in 130 years. And a lot of people, you know, are going to miss out on some amazing times, and, you know, because of whatever. You know, if you don't win the national championship, you should fire everybody. And that's just a terrible mindset. I get expectations and all that, but, you know, I think we got a pretty good track record. And we've had challenges my entire career. Like, when have we not? Like, we won six games my second year. We lost five games in a row to the Gamecocks. Boy, that was not real fun.
I started in radio then. I mean, I was really glad when you won that first one.
But, you know, we've always kept going, right? And we've had a ton of success. And we were having success then, even though sometimes you don't see it, but we were having it. And we'll continue to have it. You know, things can happen. Guys can get hurt. You know, sometimes the ball can bounce the other way. Other teams have good players too. Here's a newsflash. And they can make a play. And we've been so blessed here. We've won so many big games, so many close games. We've won 10 championships in the past 10 years. And so, like I said, we're graduating our players. We're equipping them. We got high retention. Every signing class, I was with Tyler Shatley Monday. He came and spent the day and was talking to our team. And we were talking about this because he was in my Dandy Dozen, you know. Every signing class has won a championship except for this year's freshman. And they'll win one. There's going to be a lot more championships at Clemson, a lot of great days. But this season, this team, we've had some football challenges. And maybe, you know, hadn't played quite as well in a couple spots, hadn't kind of played complimentary football early on. Then I think we got in a funk. Disappointment affected these guys. The noise, I think, affected them. And all of a sudden, now you're just kind of out of character. But, man, it's been awesome these past couple weeks to just do life with them in the midst of a challenge. I mean, it's been awesome. In fact, I told the staff this morning because our council notes, I was just reading them last night and going through them. I mean, and like Walker Parks has been here 6 years, and one of the things he said, he's like, I love this place. And I'm trying to cherish every day. And, you know, just their perspective, their ability to process things, to communicate with each other. Like, I don't have any concerns about the future of our world because we got some amazing, amazing young people. And there's a bunch of them at Clemson. So they just, I mean, it's just who we are. I mean, it's just who we are. We're not going to ever be defined or destroyed by some failure or disappointment or whatever. We just get developed by it. We just keep going. And you go on, and it's one season at a time. And again, we've been to the playoffs. Everybody wants to go to the playoffs. We've been seven times in 10 years. I'd like to go every year. We may not make it this year, but we might. Who knows? College football is a crazy world, right? Let's just go play. Yes. Like, let's don't quit. Like, let's just keep playing. You know, and I think we have an opportunity. Sometimes you have more of an opportunity in situations like this to teach than you do when everything's perfect. And those are great opportunities to teach, too. In fact, I prefer that. But you also want to take advantage of these as well. And I'm just proud of them. I'm proud of the staff. Everybody's, you know, just gotten up, dusted off, and let's get back in the fight. And all we can do is just, you know, always say the man that'll fight one more round, he ain't ever beaten, right? So let's just keep fighting.
I feel like you sort of put your staff on notice a few weeks ago. How have they responded?
You've seen us play the last couple of weeks. We've played really, really well. A lot of complimentary football, but listen, we have a responsibility, and I meant what I said. I think when your team doesn't play the way they're capable of playing, then that's a failure on us as coaches. Period. And again, that's not some like epidemic that's been going on around here for years and years. It's like, and these guys and the staff's done a great job, but we have accountability, and that's just the way it is. Like, it's our job to get the player to be the best version of themselves, and sometimes they do everything. Again, it can, one play can go a crazy way, or maybe you lost one player. I've had teams where, that's why I don't judge teams based on a championship. Like, the 21 team's one of my favorite teams I've ever had. My 2010 team's one of my favorite teams I've ever had. I judge the team based on, you know, their commitment to the standard, you know, what I see every day. And that's one thing I'll say about this team that's been awesome. If you watched us practice the last 3 weeks, you would have no idea if we were undefeated or if we were playing in a national championship game that week, or we were just playing in a regular season game. It's been awesome. I mean, these guys have really just come to work, and they've earned the right to win, and it's the same thing with the staff. But, you know, so you know, we're all in it together. But I think if they could do it without us as coaches, then, you know, why are we here?
That's awesome. I love that. Can we go over a little bit? I mean, we got to get them out, but I got a couple more questions.
Do whatever you need.
Okay. I want to ask you about playing
he's
at home.
He's dealing with all the commercials.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. He's yeah. Like, legal yeah. IDs, whatever. CDC will forgive us this one time. I want to talk about playing at home because you've talked a lot about being sort of wedded to the people here and wanting to serve the people here. One of the ways that I could sense it in the press conference that you're frustrated by you guys' struggles at home.
Yeah.
So what does that look like to play better at home? How do you ensure that
looks,
happens?
You do what winning requires. Win the turnover margin. You play with an uncommon effort and toughness and enthusiasm. You make a difference in special teams. You out big play people. You don't have stupid penalties. You make the critical plays at the right time. I mean, just that's what winning takes. But you build your life from the inside out. I don't think you can have a great life if you live from the outside in. I just don't think you're ever going to be happy. But you also, you build your team from the inside out. You build your season from the inside out as a football team. And you're not going to be a great program if you don't defend your home turf, period. And that was a thing when I got this job. That was one thing I'm like, man, we got to be better winning at home. Because we were, I think, maybe like 72%. And I think we're 89% now since I've been a head coach. And I remember we 08 we lost one game as an interim. And in 09 we lost a game. In 10 we lost two home games. In 11 we went undefeated. In 12 we lost one at home. In 13 we lost one. We lost one at home to Florida State. And then at 14 we didn't lose any. Or maybe we lost one. No,
it was Georgia, Florida State, Georgia Tech.
We didn't lose any. We didn't lose any. 15, we didn't lose any. 16, we lost one to Pitt. 17, none. 18, none. 19, none. 20, none. 21, none. And we had a 40-game win streak. You know, and in 22, we lose freaking by 1 point. And then we come back in 23, and we had a, you know, an overtime loss to Florida State. Should have won the game. And then obviously last year we lost to Louisville and we lost South Carolina, and then we start out. So, yeah, I mean, we lost three out of our last four home. That just freaking makes my skin crawl. That's just how I feel about it. So we've not done our part because this place is, I mean, it's amazing. This is like and again, you got to give the opponent credit too. It's not like we're entitled to win, but if you're going to be a great program, you're going to have great seasons, then you got to – and we've been really, really good. We've won almost 90% of our home games, in totality. But we've got to defend the Valley, man. We got to get back on track and doing what winning requires at home. Our fans deserve it. And if you're going to have a great program, that's where it starts. So, yeah, it's important, man. I mean, so let's play well. You got to play well. We beat Troy, but we stunk. We didn't play well. We were just that much better. And when you play well and you have the talent like we have, hey, you earn the right to win. But you gotta do what it takes. And so we've gone on the road these last couple weeks, and we've really not played perfect, but we've really played well. And the teams weren't necessarily great, but that's what should happen when you're a really talented team and you play well. But when you play well against other really good teams like the one we're going to have, hey, you're going to put yourself in a chance to win it, and you ought to win it in the fourth quarter in the Valley. It always makes a difference, and that's just how I look at it, and we've got to be better, and we're going to be better.
I can't wait to see it on Saturday. By the way, we've gotten texts from people in the upstate, across the state, other states, and internationally. People saying thank you, people talking about the bread. So, like, you guys are touching a lot of people
awesome.
Today, so that's great.
Internationally?
Internationally, from Italy. We got a text from Italy. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Hey, I want to thank y'all very much for what you do in this community, for what you do to support this cause, and for being out with us today. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, guys.
We
thank
appreciate y'all,
y'all
so Cass much. Thank
write,
you.
Cass going to write y'all a check, too.
Oh, man. That's awesome. He pointed at me. I just want everybody to know. Pointed at me.
Thank you, guys.
Short break. We'll come back for more. Hour three from Jersey Mike's is next.
WCCP FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Family, and this is our Ingalls story.
Welcome to Henderson County, North Carolina, known throughout the South as Apple Country. Here, the family of Apple Wedge Farm is in its fifth and sixth generation, cultivating fresh fruit for the local community and beyond.